for PCSN Live with Dave and Ken, right here on Pickup Country 104.9 FM, streaming live at listenlikealocal.com or on your mobile device with the free WSKV app for Android and Apple users. Tonight's program is made possible in part by Whitaker Bank, Tanner Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Powell County CSEP, Mercy Health, Appalachian Wireless, Citizens Guarantee Bank, Clark Regional Medical Center, Hinkle Contracting, Davis & Davis Funeral Home, Toyota South, Ace Hardware & Feed, People's Exchange Bank, Teddy Flint, Attorney at Law, Whitaker Insurance Group, Protect Security and Fire Systems, and Apex Network Physical Therapy. Let's join Ken and Dave for PCSN Live from the Stanton Studio.
Hey, good evening and welcome everyone to another edition of PCSN Live with Dave and Ken. And this is David Fowler along with Ken Simon and bringing you not much sports news from Powell County, but we will bring you all the some COVID updates and talk about the effects of COVID on sports in Powell County and maybe get into some other type of sport like the UK game on Saturday and just talk about having games and when the times are as bad as they are with COVID. So get right underway here. We'll start out with our updates on our COVID numbers.
At this point, we're going to go to the state numbers here at this point. Today, 4,941 new cases. That brings the total case count to 581,000. Now, this goes back since this has all started at this point. New cases of those 18 and under, 1,560. So you have not quite, well, right about a third, I guess, of the total cases are 18 and under. So
definitely more than a fourth.
Yeah, right, yes. And unfortunately, you know, that seems to be the population that seems to be hit the most at this point. They are actually, when you look at, well, actually the numbers are lower than they were, today's numbers in a sense, as far as that. So basically between 19 and under, you're looking at roughly 18% of the total cases. Correct. You know, 18% of those under the age of 18 or 19 at this point. You know, I think when you look at those numbers, the younger population seems to be getting hit harder. The positivity rate is 13.35%.
I think it's down from a couple days ago.
Yeah, agreed. Yes, not by much, no. but just a little bit. And then the numbers as far as hospitalizations, 2,267 are currently hospitalized, 644 ICU, 410 on ventilators. You know, so, I mean, that's a lot of, you know, nearly half, in a sense, as far as new cases. Now, I'm not just using new cases as the example, but still, that would almost be like the new cases, you know, half of those being hospitalized.
And normally you see about a 3 or 4 days at least of having COVID before you get sick enough to where you may need hospitalized, depending on the person, obviously. But some people go even a week from having COVID to where they need to go to a hospital. And I tell you, it's taxing on our hospitals. And again, you've seen starting to open up tents, different hospitals, and just to treat normal patients. Now, the difference between this year and last year, they cut out elective surgeries last year. This year, their hospitals are wide open. And when I say wide open, you can have elective surgeries. You can have procedures done. Now, they'll try to get you in and out pretty quick because they don't want you, I guess, taking up the spaces there needed for the COVID patients. But there are other patients that need treatment. And that's, to me, is a bigger problem. You've got a virus that is, at least to me, I'm not saying it's stoppable, but it is, we could definitely slow the spread of the virus if folks were vaccinated. 90% of all cases, I think it's still around 90% or more, are non-vaccinated people. Now, when you look at the kids, 19 and under, these are people who, a third of that group, 12 to 19, 13 to 19, they can be vaccinated. So they can actually to take themselves out of the number. The problem that's concerning to me now is the 12 and unders, because there is no vaccination in sight. They're trying to get something. I think one of the groups is trying to get something emergency authorized for 12 and under. To me, that's going to be key, because we're having so many kids testing positive for COVID, and there are people who are vaccinated who are getting COVID, and I won't argue that with people. But I look at it like I used to look at the seatbelt thing. 95% of all traffic fatalities were not wearing a seatbelt. Okay, it doesn't take a rocket science to figure out, okay, it is much safer to wear the seatbelt. Not that people would always argue, I know this person that got killed, they were wearing a seatbelt. Okay, 5%. 5% of people who are wearing a seatbelt are actually dying in traffic fatality. People are still dying. People who get COVID and vaccinated are still dying, but it's such a small percentage that it really is even debatable as far as the effectiveness of the vaccine and getting really sick and or dying. Now, obviously there's people out there that are going to say, well, we've not had enough study on the vaccine. Granted, I totally get that. We have a group of people who still can't take a vaccine. Get it. I get those. But we have a lot of people who could get the vaccine and just choose not to. To me, those are the people that are putting everyone else at risk and keeping this thing going. That's just David Faulkner's opinion, and it's not worth much, but that is what I think.
And I believe that when you look at the cases, obviously we know that potentially everyone could be a carrier,
mm-hmm.
right? So
yes.
Therefore, vaccinated or unvaccinated, the fact that we potentially could all be carriers, whether that's asymptomatic or otherwise, that's probably the most frightening thing of all of it. Not to invoke fear by any means, but yet at the same time, just realizing like you could be in any circle at any given time and someone potentially could be a carrier in a sense and be that asymptomatic person and start infecting everyone else. And the fact that you don't know if that's the case or not, that's the $10,000 question, right?
Yeah, and you can be asymptomatic and have the vaccine or not. You can be asymptomatic in either group. So there is no, as far as the spread, there is no one answer that fits it all. But the numbers that are being hospitalized and the number of cases that we're seeing, it's a huge difference in percentages, those who are vaccinated versus those who have not been. To me, it's just a kind of a no-brainer. And I got the vaccine, and I thought I was just as sick as I've ever been for about 6 hours. But instead of being sick for a month, maybe on a ventilator, maybe going to Cardinal Hill once I'm finished or wherever, the rehab, I was over it in 6 hours. So to me, it is definitely worthwhile to have the vaccine. You know, the next day I felt I didn't want to do anything. I just wore out. A couple of days later, I'm fine, you know. But, there's some issues with some of the side effects of the vaccine. But I think it's far less than, when they tell us, okay, if you get the vaccine, you can still get COVID, but it's less likely you'll be hospitalized and or die. Sign me up. I mean, that's good enough, you know, with the numbers of death we saw last year. I was all in. But the numbers we're seeing today, I'm not saying they dwarf last year's number, but if you look at where we were at the beginning of the month of August and maybe at the end of July,
and share that as far as like the numbers, in a sense, where we were at the beginning of August and where we are at the end the 1st of September.
Dee looked it up as far as in Powell County before we left home. We were talking about COVID and 19 cases August 2nd. And here we are in Powell County. Here we are in Powell County, Kentucky, and we have 182. Now, that is as high as it has ever been. The positivity rate is as high as it's ever been. I can remember the times we come on the show and talk about, man, we had four cases today. We We had a bad day, 5 cases today. But I also remember some of the days we had 17, and we thought that was just tragic. We're having 25 cases a day, folks. For the last week,
yeah,
we've had about 25 cases per day. Now, that means in about 10 days, we'll have 25 people come off that list. But 25 a day? That's
Well, unfortunately, we're not having enough to come off, in a sense. So we're getting, just as an example, just as an example for today, 24 new cases today, 18 people were released. So we still had 6 more people, ultimately, right? But still giving us that 182 mark. Again, when you're having 24 cases, yesterday's numbers, 24 new cases, 15 cases were released. So yesterday's were 176. Obviously, today the 6 more, 182. You go back to Monday, 25 new cases, 11 were taken off of that. And on the Powell County Health Department's webpage or whatever else, going back, it said this goes back to, you know, Monday. Weekly case counts have been tracked Monday through Sunday during the pandemic, and with one day to go, we have now reached the highest weekly count so far at 153. Yeah, that goes back to last week, in a sense.
Yeah, that's 25 a day.
Yeah, the previous record was 133, and that was the week of November the 16th through the 22nd, right before Thanksgiving of 2020. It takes 22 cases in 1 week to reach the red zone for Powell County. Just 22. So if we're averaging 25, we're going to continue to stay in red, in a sense, at least, you know, for the foreseeable future.
And, you know, I know there's people out there that I'm hopefully talking to that are listening that maybe don't believe all the science and think that the media's lying. Well, I don't think these numbers lie. I really don't. There are people that think that the numbers are made up, and I don't think Stacey Grace is going to make up the numbers. She's going to put out the data that's there. And they have done a wonderful job at the health department. I'll just give them a little credit. They have done as good as a job as they can. However, I know there is some lag time now with contact tracing, which is a concern. And they told us about a month ago or maybe less, that they were having a hard time keeping up with contact tracing. It is best for the people who test positive to let their contacts know that they were positive.
Right.
Now, you know, and obviously there's people out there, I think, that may get sick and just try to go around whoever they can just to see if they get sick because they don't think much of it. Those people should be punished. I mean, you get somebody sick and they die because you're just laughing about it. There's no difference to me that's pulling out a gun and shooting somebody. I mean, it's dangerous. You're playing with fire when you go around people and you know you're sick and you know if you know you have COVID and you do that, then that's just morally incomprehensible.
And allegedly, I'm going to qualify that one more time, that's what's happened at the high school level, that there potentially were students who were going around, in a sense, who were okay with being spreaders and passing it along when they were infected themselves, that they just like, what's it matter? If I'm going to be in this, everybody else might as well join me. And therefore, you know, you look at the high numbers in that younger population. Could that be the case? Absolutely. We know as well, though, that when you're at that age, you're invincible, right?
Yeah.
Well, nothing's going to get you, in a sense. So therefore, what are you doing? You still want to continue to socialize with your friends, not knowing if they are asymptomatic or otherwise. You're not necessarily wearing your mask. You're going to go about your business and hang out with your friends, and at that point, maybe that's what happens.
Well, you know, I definitely won't be as critical of the youth as I would an adult.
Sure, yeah.
Now, when an adult does this, that's just, it's bad for a kid to do it, or high school kid to do it. They know better. But for an adult to do it, they definitely know better. I just think that, I've seen people charged with manslaughter for maybe less. You know, it used to be when HIV came out with AIDS and people knowingly had sex with another person and they knew they were positive, people were tried for manslaughter.
Yeah, yeah.
Because this is when the this was before the time they had not vaccines, but they had treatments. And wrong is wrong. I mean, it, obviously, COVID has affected everybody differently, and you hear nothing to death. I mean, there is a wide range of problems there for people, and even people who have been really critical of COVID, whether it's true or not. And you see a lot of those people who are getting really sick now, which it ties in with the non-vaccinated folks. And I don't want to see anybody sick, even those who are not vaccinated. You don't want to see anybody with COVID because it is, I don't know personally, but it's an awful, I know people who have had it and what they go through, what they have gone through. It's worthwhile for folks to be careful.
You're exactly right. It not only that, but I think it goes back to the fact that to me, there is in fact a virus out there. And we can argue all day whether it was man-made or whether it's nature.
Doesn't matter right now.
Exactly. It does not matter. It's irrelevant. But the fact that people would deny that it actually exists, that's delusional in many respects. That is. There's too many people that we collectively know that have been affected by this that how can you be in denial that those people didn't have it? And or what? Those people are willing to make up a story and claim that they did when it's affecting their lifestyle, and now you're having to quarantine in those circumstances. People are not going to go to that far to continue in a lie.
Yeah, well,
if in fact that were.
Obviously, I was never a Trump fan, but I will say this about Trump. He got on, he had a speech, I think this was last week, and in his speech, he asked people to go get vaccinated. And it's about time that he stood up and did that. He said he was vaccinated, and he thinks everybody should be vaccinated now. People in his audience came out of that and saying he really didn't have the vaccine. It's a lie. Those folks are delusional. Now, again, I'll thank you, Mr. Former President, for at least standing up now and saying, okay, it's good to have the vaccine. It's safe. I know it's safe. I took it myself, and I've had COVID. At least he got out in front of people and made that statement. And you know what? I complained that he never wore a mask. He never did the role model stuff when he was president. And now he comes out, but it may be a day late, dollar short, but at least it's an attempt to get folks vaccinated that, you know, we're losing people every day. That's not good. The deaths were high anyway, but now if we keep having the same numbers we're having, we're going to be worse than what we were before. And now they're saying in Kentucky, we're having some exponential growth, which is what we warned to stay away from last time. Kentucky's numbers, I think last week we had their highest day at over 6,000. Okay, today at 4,800, I'm saying, that's an improvement. Folks, when 4,800 is an improvement, that's really a reach. I mean, 4,800 cases, and you're talking about still a death rate, even if it's 5%.
12 new deaths today in the state. 12 new, you know,
the amount of people that you had on ventilators?
Yeah, right. Yeah.
What is it, 60% of those who go on ventilators don't come off?
Correct. Yeah.
So, I mean, it's...
Can't catch their breath, regardless,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, and I mean, I know of someone now that just barely can walk 4 or 5 steps without just being totally wiped out, and they'll have to go through some rehab to get better, but at least they're off the ventilator and maybe back to the right path. But man, what it does to some of those folks, I really, really hope and pray that, you know, folks can either get vaccinated or I guess be a hermit.
Well, now at this point, this is a concern for me here in Powell County. We had NTI day yesterday and today. No school Thursday, Friday. It's Labor Day weekend. What are people potentially going to do? Hey, let's travel, right? Let's go on
a mini
vacation.
Days off.
Yeah, let's go, whether it's Gatlinburg or otherwise, right? Let's just go on and get out and let's have a little mini vacation. Then what happens the week prior to that going into Powell County Fair Week? at that point, what's that going to look like? And even that week beyond, because then that would be that 2-week window in a sense. So at that point, you know, where are we here in 2 to 3 weeks once everybody has potentially gone out of town on these little mini vacations and now come back? And obviously the numbers continue to go up.
And everywhere. No place is safe.
Yeah. So at that point, where will we be in another 2 weeks?
Maybe get in your camper, go somewhere out where nobody's around, and that might be a good vacation.
Let's hope the numbers go down.
Take a break. You'll be back with PCSN Live.
Protect Security and Fire Systems. Your security is our business. Visit the Fowl County Sports Network page at WSKVFM.com.
With Whitaker Bank's new home equity line of credit, qualified applicants can borrow up to 90% of their home's value with no closing costs. With Whitaker Bank's home equity line of credit, you only pay back 1% of your balance monthly, and you process your withdrawals with Whitaker Electronic Banking. Stop by Whitaker Bank and see how our new home equity line of credit can help you. Whitaker Bank proudly supports your Powell County Pirates. Whitaker Bank is uniquely Kentucky, member FDIC, and an equal housing lender.
Community. What does the word mean to you? Here at Citizens Guarantee Bank, community means everything. It's why we do what we do. As our community grows, we are here to be your helping hand, putting your dreams to work. Our community has very exciting opportunities and challenges. Let us help you build your future and meet the future needs of our community. My name is James Clark, the Powell County Market President here at Citizens Guarantee Bank. At Citizens, we are your hometown bank, and we are here for you because we are you.
Stop by any of our convenient locations in Stanton, Irvin, Berea, Richmond, and London. My money, my bank, my CGB.
Citizens Guaranteed Bank, member FDIC, an equal housing lender. Qualifications and rules may apply. See institution for details.
Toyota South in Richmond is moving forward. Family owned and operated since 1915. Meet General Manager Charlie Johnson.
I was raised right here in Powell County by my grandparents. They taught me to be honest and treat others with courtesy and respect. And that's what you can expect from me. I would like to personally invite you to take the short drive to Toyota South in Ridgeville. Whether you're looking for a new or used vehicle, as General Manager at Toyota South, I will make your short drive well worth your time. Come see me soon at Toyota South in Ridgeville.
Toyota South in Richmond. Online at toyotasouth.com or call their friendly staff at 877-605-4326.
New driveway, parking lot, or large aggregate need? Hinkle Contracting Company specializes in all things crushed aggregate. They provide expert delivery and more, depending on size of application. Call Natural Bridgestone today at 606-663-2815 or Tipton Ridge Quarry at 606-723-4881 or find out more information at hinklecontracting.com. For all of your asphalt and aggregate needs, think Hinkle Contracting Company.
Welcome back. We gave you a little bit of extra break there since we went over our time per segment, but again, it was something that's kind of passionate, something that's going on that is really severe and serious and should be taken serious. And obviously we're losing broadcast slots, and I would like to take this time to thank our sponsors for being patient with us and allowing us to bring you this show as some sort of a, I guess, of a sports outlet for you guys. So we'll kind of get into that and kind of talk about a little sports, but Powell County, like I said, we have been shut down for, well, I guess Friday night volleyball was shut down with a COVID quarantine situation. Football was shut down with a COVID quarantine situation last week. And I believe, if I'm not mistaken,
Soccer was as well.
So most of our sports teams were already shut down for COVID before Dr. Orr and the Board of Education decided to do the NTI days and a break. Now, that being said, athletics is paused all the way through. We come back to school on that Tuesday. I'm not sure where we are when we come back, even if we have, I think volleyball is still on quarantine. Football team, I'm not sure if they had a case or they just had several quarantines, so I'm not sure where it lies. We'll try to keep you updated as much as we can. I think we talked about volleyball the 10th, I think.
The 9th.
The 9th, okay, was the next time they would play.
Correct. So, and that would be at Lee County.
We will do the best that we can to keep you updated on those during our Wednesday night shows. Right now, with things in flux like they are, you know, people are canceling games and taking forfeits.
Yeah, and at this point, the girls' volleyball team, 1-5 on the season. They played the first match of the season. They ended up defeating Menifee County to get that win. And then after that, the match against Knott County Central was canceled due to COVID. They played Breathitt County, went 4 sets. The Lady Pirates ended up losing that one. And then they've had to forfeit against Bath County, Knott County Central again, and Lee County. So at this point, again, the girls' volleyball team 1-5 on the season with their next match set for Thursday, September the 9th at Lee County.
I think those COVID forfeits will be coming off the scoreboard at a later date. But even if they aren't, the Knott County game should have been a win for Powell County. The Lee County game should have been a 0-0 tie. We're both canceled. So there is no perfect way to fix the problem of the records. I don't know how you adjust that, but again, I think it should be like last year. If you have a COVID quarantine, there is no win, there is no loss. There's just nothing there, you know.
Correct. I would agree with that. Yeah. I don't feel like putting a loss on a team that you've not played, and I get the forfeit, but these are different circumstances. It's not like you didn't show up and had to forfeit or not enough players and forfeit.
Don't think like I know in softball season last year, we had to actually send an email to the KCSAA that we were canceling, even for rainout, and let them know why we were canceling. If it was a COVID cancellation, obviously they would put that on the website. But they put that COVID cancellation up. There was no
score.
There was no score. There was no win, no loss. On rain delays, it was just, if you're making it up, okay, you submit a time when you want to make it up, and you can. Now, I don't think they have that opening for that slot because we're back to normal on the KCSAA, on the athletics. Therefore, it left a little bit of an issue with scoring. So I think they'll get adjusted later. I think that, the KCSAA is smart enough to go ahead and say, okay, let's just do what we were doing last year. And
because it appears that the loss goes to the home team, meaning the home team loses. The visiting team is the one who actually gets the victory at that point, because I'm assuming the home team would be the one who would have canceled in that respect.
Or the canceling team.
Correct. Yes, that's what I meant. Good point. Yeah. At that point, because you did make the cancellation, because you are the home team, therefore you're the one who suffers the loss.
Well, and it's kind of like Lee County. You know, I think we closed before they did. Therefore, the game was canceled by us before they were going to cancel. Therefore, we would pick up a loss.
So at that point, though, do you delay in canceling? Right? Who blinks first? I think
I think you just have to go ahead and do what you got to do.
If
it's a cancellation, you fix it. And you go on. But, again, there's people that are still playing. You know, for example, football, Friday night, Powell County was scheduled to play at Breathitt. I know Mr. Brewer gave Breathitt enough notice on Wednesday that we may have that opportunity to be canceled, that Breathitt picked up a game. So Breathitt kind of didn't get hurt by us canceling. They just picked up a game, and that's good, that they could go right on and keep playing. But, again, the numbers all over the state of Kentucky are, I don't know if Robertson County ever went red or not, but I know last week Robertson County was the only county in the state of Kentucky that was orange. And we're talking about 124 counties, folks.
120.
119 are red and deep red. We're not talking about a little red. We're talking about, I don't think anybody on that list was barely red. You know, most of them were as high or higher than they've ever been. And that's all over the state of Kentucky, folks.
Yeah, that 10 plus percent positivity rate in specific counties. I mean, obviously too much. And even with Breathitt County, fortunately, they were able to pick up the games. I don't think they won either of those games that they were able to pick up. But still, it's game experience. Mm-hmm. And probably against, you know, like 4A or, you know what I'm saying, a higher division school, if you will. I think at that point, the fact that you're able to play, that's a positive, win or lose, because those games don't matter other than game experience. And now it's unfortunate for the Pirates at this point. Now you're going to miss a few games. Now what's the conditioning going to be like when you come back and now you're in that live game action? And we suffered injuries last year because of a lack of off-season conditioning, if you will. And now at this point, it's up to the individual student to keep themselves active, right? No matter how you want to define that.
Well, there's no practice. Therefore, there's no weightlifting, no conditioning. These kids are going to go almost 2 weeks, Ken, without putting the pads on. So, I mean, it's brutal. I mean, for what it's doing to football, I mean, obviously they can't get back on the field till Tuesday. They'll have 3 practice days to prepare for their next game. If in fact, there's not a quarantine. I tell you, it's, you know, that's why in the middle of the summer when all these vaccines were started, you saw these kids from like, I saw kids from, I think one of the Laurels, and I saw kids from one of the Madison County teams and one of the Fayette County teams, kids come on TV and said, look, we got vaccinated. We didn't want to risk losing games due to quarantine. Now, obviously you can't force your kids to get a vaccine, but these kids took it on themselves to look, I'm not getting quarantined. We're all going to go get the vaccine. And they kind of took it upon themselves to protect themselves from quarantine. Not that it's 100% foolproof, but at least, and I think even here, if you're vaccinated, you don't have to quarantine. Correct?
Correct.
So, you know, if you're at school and you got a contact and you don't have to miss school, you can still come because you've been vaccinated. And the problem there is, obviously, if that person did contract it and was positive, now they're an asymptomatic spreader, possibly. But this fact about, you know, playing games is the most important. These kids need to be playing. They need to be practicing. But putting a team, especially football, putting those kids back on the field 3 days after you're back in school is a risk. And I mean that seriously. You know, soccer is probably a little bit more of a risk than volleyball. Not knocking volleyball. But when you come back and you haven't played in 2 weeks and other people have, you're behind. I don't care what sport you're playing, you're behind. Now, if you're a golfer, your boys and girls golf team, you can go play golf on your own and still maybe meet the criteria of you're not, you know, having close contacts. You know, I know cheer's been down for a week or so. They had one quarantine, but it was not a team quarantine. But again, they've been out. I mean, they can't work on their stuff. They were going to start their routine practice this week or next week, and can't do that now. So, I mean, they can't get back again until next Tuesday. So, and I think if we get back next Tuesday, I'm not sure what the future looks like after next Tuesday, because I don't see us getting any better as far as the numbers by next Tuesday, just because it's today.
If anything, we maintain probably potentially where we are. I don't necessarily see us dropping a whole lot either. You know, and even with the sports teams, you're exactly right. When you look at football, when you throw on the pads and the helmets and that added weight, and all of a sudden, and obviously it's a little cooler than it has been, but it's still muggy. At that point, the conditioning of not being able to get in practice and have that, that's going to be a factor. And then when you look at soccer, again, we've already talked, they can run 3 to 5 miles in any match. At that point, if you're not out as a soccer player still running, jogging, sprints, or something to keep yourself conditioned, that first game back, you're going to be exhausted as well.
Yeah.
And then volleyball, like you said, at that point, a little bit different as far as like the nature is how much actual running and things along that line that they're actually doing. You know, it's
but you get out of the practice of serving and blocking and setting, and you're rusty on your skill set.
Absolutely.
Therefore, when you come back, you don't look as sharp as you could have. And that's kind of what COVID has done to us over the last couple of years. It's it's made us not as sharp as what we could have been had we not had the issue, but the issue's here. I mean, I don't know how you fix the problem we have today, because, you know, the numbers aren't getting any better. As far as, I think, are we at 48% of Kentuckians have been vaccinated? I believe it's somewhere around that number, and that means more than half of the people in Kentucky have not been vaccinated, and this problem will continue. I mean, it's just until people either are vaccinated or this thing runs its course. I just don't see this thing running its course until something happens. I mean, I don't see an end to COVID until we have herd immunity, and we can't have herd immunity until at least 80. I think they said 80
roughly some percent, 80%, right?
Are vaccinated, and we're not even we're halfway there, and that's all we are
in Powell County.
The numbers of people vaccinated are going up, and I get that, but it's not going up very significantly.
No, not like you would think under the circumstances. Let's go back to just football real quick. So when you look, this week's game obviously been canceled. That was supposed to be at Bath County. Mm-hmm. On September the 10th, next Friday, the Pirates, if that game is going to be held at Prestonsburg. So now you're talking potentially you're going back to school. You've only had a short amount of time to practice and prepare. Now you're going the drive to Prestonsburg.
Friday.
Yeah. It's a week before.
That's right.
Week before. But nonetheless, still, the fact that you're actually having to travel, it's not even a home game. So now you're in a different routine, if you will, because the first game was at home and they've not played since that first home game against Estill County. So at that point, now you're traveling on the road against Prestonsburg. Former head coach Brandon Brewer down there with Prestonsburg. They're 0-2 on the season. The Pirates are 0-3 so far, even though they actually only officially played one game. So now how does your team react to that? If that game's played, if not, then you look at the following week, a fair week, and at that point, the Pirates will play host to Perry County Central at home. You know as well as I do, anytime during fair week, there's way too many distractions. I almost feel like that should be an open week and not even play on that Friday, because I feel like there's too much happening, in a sense, to be a distraction that I don't see how players can necessarily be as focused as they would normally be.
Well, I think the players are dedicated to the team. Therefore, I don't think they really worry about the fair that much when they got a game to think about. But when you're off of your routine, that's when you kind of see some things kind of crop up. And definitely they're going to be off the routine. Even playing next Friday, normally you'll have this day as your film day or whatever it is. You can't even have film day because you didn't have a game. You can't prep for Prestonsburg on film. The coaches are going to have to do all the work and get it to the players as soon as they can. But again, they got issues they got to fix on their own. We got stuff that needs fixed offensively.
Through practice,
yeah. And you can't do that either. So it kind of puts you in a little bit of a bind. We'll talk more about the sports in a moment. We'll step away for another break here on PCSN Live.
When you need insurance, contact Whitaker Insurance Group in Stanton, proud sponsors of the live broadcast of your Powell County Pirates on Pickup Country 104.9 FM.
Appalachian Wireless has a question for you. Would you rather pay $650 or $66 for a smartphone? If you think this answer is simple, then the Appalachian Advantage Plan is for you. Pay less upfront for today's hottest smartphones, and then pay just a few dollars more every month on the monthly bill. Many smartphones are $5 a month or less after you factor in the $20 discount from the Advantage Plan compared to the contract offering. Better service, bigger savings. That's today's Appalachian Wireless. Payment agreement required. See store for details.
Welcome back for that little short break we had there. Not used to the
short breaks.
The short breaks, only two commercial, two spots there. But again, we do want to thank all of our sponsors and give them as much airtime as we possibly can here on PCSN Live. Again, there are no games this week, as we were just talking about football and preparation and what are you going to do. Again, we're trying to get a picture of what it's going to look like, you know, next week. And again, to me, it looks bleak. I just, not for football, but I just think the COVID issue looks a little bleak to me. I'm kind of still waiting on the governor to meet with his people whoever the legislative representatives are that he can meet with, or have a special session to where they can at least have a some kind of an amendment to their law they passed in January that schools cannot no longer do virtual, and took that option away from school. I only had the 10 NTI days. And, you know, I think Dr. Orr and the superintendent here and the board and other counties that are doing this, 18 schools closed due to COVID right now, and are trying their best to limit the number of NTI days they use now, because you got to make up the others later. And,
yeah, so already we have two NTI days off Thursday and Friday, so therefore those 2 days will have to be made up. And then going forward again, how often are you going to use potentially those 10 days or not? You hold them in your pocket, obviously.
You got snow come possibilities in January, in December, January, February. You've got COVID issues now.
Flooding as well.
Flooding is a possibility. I mean, we had the flu the last time we were out on NTI with illness. So I do understand what they're doing. I think me personally, use them all early when you need them, and you do what you got to do later. And you hope this legislature, when they come into special session or they have representatives meet with the governor, that they can come and do that, and they can allow schools to maybe have more. Because I really think more than 18 school districts would be shut down if they had more allotment of NTI days or possibilities of going virtual. And I know that's not what people want to hear. I know that's not what teachers want to do. It's not what families want to do with their kids. But if we're going to keep the kids safe and the teachers safe, and again, we send our hearts and prayers out to the folks in Lee County, lost an instructional assistant there. Greenup County lost a teacher and a coach a couple weeks ago over there. So we have seen educators have passed since school started back. This is not like, I'm not saying they got out of school, but I'm just saying we've seen them pass here in the last couple of weeks that from COVID. And, people are looking for answers on what to do as a school system. If you're in that decision-making body, hats off, because you've got some tough calls to make. And like I said, to me, you can't predict it's going to snow in January. I can predict we're going to have more COVID issues. And now when to use the days is you know, up the district. But to me personally, I'd kind of use them all before, you know, and then make up the other days later is what I would do. But now I'm not in charge of
that. Well, and I think what's interesting too is that I feel like, I'm not sure when this will take place, but on one hand, in the future, I truly believe that everything will be virtual, that you will have a teacher in front of a camera, a Zoom style, you know, classroom, if you will, and all the kids will be dialed in on their Chromebooks or whatever else, and you will have that, and there won't necessarily be buildings, you know, that people will be utilizing and bringing kids to school and transportation. I can almost see that. Now, I'm not saying that, you know, it's not happening at daycare or something along those lines, but at some point in time, I think that that's going to begin, you know, that transition in a sense of going in that direction.
That's something that I know before I retired 5 years ago, that's something that we discussed. You can see, you know, we had the KTL, the lab back in the back. And that lab is virtual. That's the purpose of the lab. And we were one of the first schools, I think, around the state of Kentucky that had one of those. So people could kind of talk, is this where we're going to go in the future? You know, you don't have a lot of job security if you go to the virtual route. But, you know, my thought is this, you cannot go virtual in Powell County, Kentucky until every kid has internet.
Correct.
Now, once that happens, then that could be a possibility. I just don't see it happening in the next 10 or 20 years.
No.
But in the future, sometime, yes, I very well can see that happening. It's
and as remote as some of these houses, right?
Drive down, around the county sometime, you know?
Right, yeah. And then it makes you realize, like, at what cost will internet even be provided? Yeah. Like at that point, I'm sure that there are people who have no cell phone service at home, right? You know, depending on where they're actually located. So let alone getting internet capabilities, at that point it'd be hard. And we're just talking about one county here, and there's no telling what other counties are would potentially be facing as far as internet to everyone.
It would be very expensive, but it's something that, I say this, politicians talk about this every election. We need more infrastructure. Now, I guess the Congress and House and President signed the bill that $310 billion, I believe, for a infrastructure, roads and infrastructure package. How that's going to be divided, I don't know. But that could be something that could be used for getting everybody internet. This is a time where now be a good time to ask for it because you might get it. If you want that pot of money that is going to cost $10 million to get statewide internet, then.
Now, if you remember, there were issues going over the last year or so where they were trying to provide internet in rural counties, and then they ran into some kind of contracting issues or whatever else. And, you know how that goes.
That's where business gets in the way, right?
Correct. Unfortunately, yeah.
Those monopolies that are out there that are not monopolies, but conglomerates that are just kind of controlling what happens. But if there was a way to get it done, now would be the time to ask. And maybe instead of a road improvement, you get everybody internet, and then you wouldn't have as many problems if you had to go virtual.
Well, on one hand, at this point, if you notice, even around here in the county, we're starting to have enough road issues, underlying erosion in a sense. It's kind of starting to take
a lot of
starting to kind of take out some roadways in different places. We've got like 3-4 bridges or something like that that are under repair in a sense, where they're trying to redo some of these bridges. So we're getting some work done, but then there's little pockets here and there that still need work done, and it's not necessarily happening. Hopefully this bill will
let's hope it goes there. I know Governor Beshear was down here last week, I think it was last week, presenting money to the Powell County school system and the county, and a pretty good pot of money. I think it was the largest county allotment here in Powell County for the schools, and a lot of nice improvements going to the road around the high school and some around the elementary school, and some money for the county. So I tell you what, this was a very red county, and the governor stepped up and did the right thing for the county. And thanks forever who wrote the grants or wrote to the governor for what the needs were, because you did a good job. I don't know necessarily who was in charge of that, but somebody at the board office had to write the needs, and then at the county level as well. Again, the county judge executive, I'm sure, did some work there. And the mayor did great work getting some money, funds into Powell County. So hopefully those improvements will go a long way. But again, thank the governor and the state of Kentucky for a chunk of money that comes in for all kinds of issues. Again, we had the flooding back in 20. We've had all kinds of issues, not as bad as Estill and Breathitt and some others, but it was pretty bad in Clay City. You hate to shorten what we had, but again, we were lucky that we weren't as bad as others were. Just kind of like this big rain went through, we could have got up to 4 inches of rain. I'm not sure we got that much rain, and supposed to get worse as far go east without a concern. And then you look at folks down in Louisiana, Mississippi, just devastated in those areas. So heart and prayers out for those folks as well. But everybody's got a little bit of an issue, and you just always thank yourself lucky for, I guess, just being around and having a little bit less problems than other people.
Yeah, you're right. It will be nice to see them use potentially monies to redirect some of the waters and flood areas. Let's use Roslyn as the example. You know, there's no reason that we can't build that up in that area to be able to utilize that bridge as opposed to it being blocked off. Same thing, they finally have completed, not fully completed, but it's open on Pompey. They redid the bridge going up towards Beach Fork, crossing over there.
That now, is the road higher and down
the,
there as
the
well?
The road is up higher, and there are trenches on both sides. So hopefully that eliminates that flooding option. And again, similar thing that they could do at Roslyn, build that area up there and reduce that. So if we could find those little pockets where we know there's mass flooding that restricts transportation at that point, then, you know, maybe we can improve and flooding would not necessarily be a bigger, as big an issue, you know, potentially as it is.
Yeah, we always talk about, too, when you divert, you also cause other issues sometimes.
Elsewhere,
and sometimes you don't know what that takes. An architect of somebody that knows something far more than I know.
Yeah, it's but again, my pay grade.
I do know this: when you divert it, it goes somewhere, and it will cause issues other places. You just have to kind of know what those places are beforehand, and when you make those improvements, you probably got a little opening in the under the road, the culvert system where the water can at least go through. But again, that conceivably could wash away, I guess. But again, you could always rebuild and do that. And there is FEMA money available for things like that. So.
And that's not to say that personal property wouldn't be affected, yes. Fields, et cetera, but at least the transportation aspects could be open.
The
and
transportation
therefore,
infrastructure
yeah,
part.
Right, yeah. And obviously that across the whole country needs to be addressed. And hopefully that bill that was passed recently tackle some of those issues.
Yeah, let's hope we make some of those improvements in the past. We're going to step away for another break here. We'll come back and talk a little bit about some, we may talk a little baseball since the Cardinals beat the Reds game one today. So
whoop, whoop.
Take a break here on PCSN Live.
We value our customers at People's Exchange Bank, which is why we serve you with a staff of experts that are happy to meet your lending needs. We offer a variety of personal, small business, agriculture, and commercial loans, along with competitive rates and quick decisions. Your bank shouldn't compromise on your imagination, drive, and growth, so let us help move you forward with a loan from People's Exchange Bank. Get started and get going. Visit us online at www.pebank.com or stop by a local branch to find the loan that fits you best. Member FDIC and Equal Housing Lender.
Ace Hardware, East College Avenue, Stanton, want to wish the best for your Powell County Pirates at their sporting events and their academics, at home or wherever life takes them. Next time you need an item for your lawn or garden, building needs, small or large project, plumbing, electrical, tools, including Craftsman, DeWalt, Husqvarna, and so much more. Remember your Ace Hardware right here in Stanton, East College Avenue, Ace, the helpful place.
Pre-planning your funeral should be a natural part of life because it provides you with time to make end-of-life decisions in a calm and rational atmosphere. Start the online planning process now or meet with one of our pre-planning advisors here at Davis & Davis Funeral Home for your end-of-life celebration. We also offer tribute videos, memorial websites, and live funeral webcasting. Contact Davis & Davis Funeral Home to discuss the possibilities. Find us online at davisanddavisfuneralhome.com or visit us at 777 West College Avenue in Stanton.
Welcome back. We're going to switch gears here. We're going to talk a little bit about, I don't know, we may talk a little baseball, but again, we got opening day coming up for Kentucky on Saturday. Big event for Kentucky. You know, I don't know what the fans will be like. I don't know if they have a full house. I don't think there's any limitations on crowd with COVID this year.
There are not, correct.
So we shall see how the outdoor facilities work here. Again, good luck
tailgating.
I mean, people will be having fun at the game, I'm sure. Got a new quarterback in the mix, transfer come in, they named him as quarterback. The other cat, I guess, decided to transfer, or
yeah, he
was
came.
Given that option to transfer if he chose to. So but again, we'll see Kentucky play Saturday opening day, and be some good stuff going forward.
A noon tip-off as they play host to Louisiana Monroe. That game will be on the SEC Network.
And we have lost these kinds of games before, so let's hope we come out on the right foot with Kentucky football on Saturday. Also going on this week, as far as in national sports, you got the Solheim Cup, which I'm always interested in. Women's version of the Ryder Cup is the Solheim Cup this weekend. And also in men's golf, it is the Player Championship down in Atlanta, and they will play that, I guess, Thursday through Sunday with your top 30. And again, there's no cut in that event. That's, I think, the last place player gets $365,000 for finishing last. So not a bad payday for any of those golfers that made the top 30. So congratulations to them. But that'll also be up this weekend. And then I believe the first race in the NASCAR
playoffs
begins right. this week, or maybe it's next week. I can't remember. I think it's this week, though. Had Daytona night race, I think, was the last race to get into the playoffs, and I think they've had their field is set, and I think they start the playoffs this weekend. So NASCAR's on the roll, and we've got Major League Baseball with your Cardinals right on the heels of my Reds, and beat them today 5-4. Goldschmidt had two home runs and three RBIs, I believe, for the win. And
That was a makeup game from yesterday's postponement. So then they play again tonight, like 6:40, I believe.
6:40. Probably going on as we speak, since we're at 6:50. Yeah. So game two will have started. Game two is Jay Happ against Sonny Gray. If you're a Reds and Cardinals fan, just your interest. So it's another righty against the lefty. Lefties have really given the Reds problems. So, but today a righty beat them. So it just kind of is what it is. But anyway, the Reds are now a half game behind the Padres, pending tonight's second game. Cardinals are two games behind the Padres. The Phillies are 2.5 games behind the Padres, who have now overtaken the Reds for second place in the wild card. And the Reds were up 2-4 games ago, but the Reds are on a 4-game skid. They got to hit the brakes on the skid and,
Well, how about if they start tomorrow?
Well, I'd rather they start today.
I prefer not.
Yeah, I know. But just for my sanity, I mean, they're just not hitting the ball enough. Today, Wade Miley got the big hit to take the lead. So, and they hit for him with a guy that didn't get it. I think a guy struck out. So it's just kind of what happens when you're
obviously, baseball is one of those tough sports because you have to be so consistent day in and day out. And obviously, one day the pitcher could be on, the batting not, and vice versa. You know, I mean, the ebb and flow of baseball is crazy.
And listen to most of the game today. Wade Miley was doing really well today, except for to Paul Goldschmidt. He had a pretty good day, except for Goldschmidt.
Right.
Now, I mean, I'm thinking if I'm the Reds, the first time he hits the home run, he ain't seen a pitch. Sorry.
Just going to hit him with the ball and put him on base.
I'm going to either walk him or give him something. He's going to have to chase something that's not
right,
a strike.
Out of the strike zone.
I'm not
going
to let Paul Goldschmidt beat me if I'm the Reds. But that's kind of what happened anyway. You know, that was the game-winning hit, was a two-run homer by Goldschmidt with a one-run lead, a man on first. I don't care if there's a man on first or not. He ain't beating me.
Right. And different managerial decisions, right? I'm going to pitch to you and see if we can't get out of the inning.
He went off the Toyota sign, I think is what they said. So that must have been a pretty good blast on home run number two. But anyway, Reds and Cardinals go at it tonight. Again, I'm not sure that's going to be a good race. You've got now the Padres, the Reds, Cardinals, and Phillies all invested in the wild card spot. You got the Giants, who are in first place in the West, by the hottest team in baseball, the Los Angeles Dodgers. The Giants have got issues with COVID. I think the Dodgers will overtake the Giants this week. I think they had 15-3 in their last 18 games, something like that. I always think they're the hottest team in baseball right now. Got some of their pitchers back. That team is really set up to win. Nobody's catching Milwaukee in the Central. And the race in the East, I'm assuming Atlanta's going to win it.
Yeah, that's the way it's looking.
But I guess
right.
Philadelphia is probably creeping up on Atlanta as well. So the race in the National League is going to be really fun going down the stretch. And I think the same thing for the American League wildcard teams. Boston just kind of fell out of it a little bit. But the Yankees are in that spot. Tampa Bay looking really well in the East. Again, you got some really good teams. But the wildcard race there, you got the Yankees kind of like the Dodgers. They're in a pretty good spot. Then you got everybody else battling for spot number two of the wild card.
Well, and even going back in early spring, if you remember, after baseball had started a couple of weeks in or whatever, we were on the radio, and we knew how strong in the National League the West was going to be, and they have three of the six teams in the race, in a sense. Three of the five.
Yeah, last year was six in COVID.
Yeah, three of the five that are actually right in the hunt to do it. Now, I'm a little surprised at Milwaukee. wasn't quite sure I saw Milwaukee. And, of course, when you look at the East as far as the Braves and Mets, they've
– 500. They're all
correct.
500.
Yeah, that one's – they've kind of been down in a sense, so I wasn't quite sure what to look for. I expected our Cardinals and your Reds to be competitive above – I felt like Chicago and even Pittsburgh, realizing that Chicago had been tapering down. Obviously, they cleaned house, but at this point, they were already kind of on a downward spiral in a sense.
Pitching. It's just all about pitching. Yeah. Just like – high school sports, it's all about pitching. You know, you hate to say that about, you know, baseball and even softball. It's about pitching and the depth that you have. And I think the Reds starters are solid through. I think the Reds have got a better rotation maybe than the Cardinals. But the Cardinals have a little bit better bullpen than the Reds. So we'll have to see. I do think their lineup is nice with the Reds, but they in a slump right now, collectively.
Roughly 30 games left. We'll see how it all plays out.
Next month, we'll know.
We will.
Again, thanks for listening, folks. Again, wear your mask. Get vaccinated if you can. We'll see you next week, possibly, here on PCSN Live with Dave and Ken.
Thank you for joining us for PCSN Live with Dave and Ken right here on Pickup Country 104.9 FM. Streaming live at listenlikealocal.com or on your mobile device with the free WSKB app for Android and Apple users. Don't forget, tonight's program is available on our on-demand player at listenlikealocal.com. Powell County Sports Network would like to thank their sponsors, Whitaker Bank, Tanner Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Powell County CSEP, Mercy Health, Appalachian Wireless, Citizens Guaranteed Bank, Park Regional Medical Center, Hinkle Contracting, Davis & Davis Funeral Home, Toyota South, Ace Hardware & Feed, People's Exchange Bank, Teddy Flint Attorney at Law, Whitaker Insurance Group, Protex Security and Fire Systems, and Apex Physical Therapy. Stream the game to any internet-connected mobile device.